Welcome back, everyone. Get ready to explore a new technique in virtual reality, one that aims to make VR feel more real, more immersive.
We're delving into the science behind creating a VR experience where your depth perception feels natural, just like in the physical world.
That's a huge goal, because right now that's a big hurdle for VR.
Many existing systems kind of miss the mark on that.
Yeah, our brains can tell something is off even if we can't always pinpoint it.
Right, it creates a sense of disconnect and it lessens that feeling of truly being present in the virtual world.
So to tackle this, the research we're looking at focuses on a new technique called GazeSim, which uses eye tracking to, well, essentially try to recreate how our eyes naturally see.
It's based on the principle of foveated rendering, which basically means concentrating the highest level of detail where the user's gaze is focused.
Oh, so kind of like how our eyes already work.
Exactly. Our vision is clearest at the center of our focus. And this technique takes advantage of that by reducing the level of detail in your peripheral vision where your eyes are not directly looking.
That makes a lot of sense. Our eyes are already doing it, so why not have VR systems do the same?
It just makes sense from a processing power standpoint as well. The system doesn't have to render the entire environment in high fidelity, only where the user is looking.
So it's more efficient and more realistic. Now, the paper also talks about past attempts to solve this depth perception problem.
Yes, like layered LCD panels, for instance. The idea is promising, but the technology just isn't quite there yet. And even standard foveated rendering, while a step in the right direction, doesn't completely solve the problem.
Because even though it tracks your eye movement, it doesn't accurately reflect how our eyes respond to things that are different distances away.
Precisely. And that's where GazeSim comes in.
Okay, so tell us more about GazeSim. What did the researchers actually develop? How does it work?
They started with an Oculus Rift DK2 headset. They modified it by adding Pupil Labs eye trackers, which they positioned below the lenses.
Okay, and these eye trackers, they're capturing the user's eye movements very precisely.
With remarkable accuracy, yes. And here's where it gets really innovative. To calculate depth, they use two normals. Think of these as lines perpendicular to the iris of each eye. By pinpointing where those normals intersect or the shortest distance between them, they can figure out the user's focus depth in the virtual world.
So they're using, what, geometry lines derived from your eyes to say, this is exactly where, in terms of depth, you're focusing. Real time, too. That's impressive math.
It is. And they're able to calculate this depth with a good degree of precision, specifically within a range of 5 to 25 meters in the virtual space. It's a significant step toward achieving realistic depth perception.
5 to 25 meters.
Yeah.
So pretty decent range then.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And to further fine-tune the system for each user, they also developed a calibration system using what's called the K-nearest neighbor algorithm.
And what that does is essentially help the system learn and recognize each user's specific depth layer, so it's personalized.
Exactly. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution. That level of personalization is crucial, not just for realism, but also for user comfort, potentially reducing VR sickness, which can be a problem for some people.
Right, because if the VR experience is more aligned with how our brains naturally perceive depth, it stands to reason we'd feel less nauseous. So they've tackled the depth perception challenge, but what can you actually do with GazeSim? Where does this technology really shine?
One area where it holds a lot of potential is in transparent heads-up displays, or HUDs, within VR. Mm. Imagine, say, you're watching a live sporting event in VR.
Okay.
Instead of having a static scoreboard, like taking up space in your view, you could have this transparent HUD.
Mm.
And it would just pop into focus when you look at it.
Oh, I see. So I could just shift my focus to see the score, the stats, all that. And then when I look back to the game, it fades away.
Exactly. It just kind of seamlessly transitions with your natural eye movements.
That sounds a lot more intuitive than fiddling with menus and controllers.
It really does. And it's not just limited to scoreboards or even just sports.
Right. I could see it being used for all sorts of things.
Heat maps in sports, for instance.
Oh, that's a good example. Seeing where the action is.
Or you can imagine real-time data visualization in a training simulation.
Yeah, that would be super helpful. I can see it being useful for all kinds of training.
Even in, say, a virtual world, like a game, you could have interactive elements that respond to your gaze.
So the possibilities for user interface design are huge, then.
Limitless, really.
But it seems like GazeSim's applications, they go way beyond just gaming and entertainment, right?
Oh, for sure. The researchers looked into its use in other areas, like practical applications, too.
Like what?
Well, one example is item selection in a 3D design application.
Mm.
So let's say you're assembling, I don't know, some complex piece of machinery in VR, right?
Yeah, okay.
With GaySim, you could just look at the part you want to select and use your hands to actually, you know, manipulate the virtual environment.
Oh, that would be a lot more efficient.
It would, and more precise, too.
Instead of trying to navigate menus or using clunky control.
Right.
Interesting. So your eyes become this really precise tool.
Exactly. Very intuitive.
Now, the researchers also mentioned this concept of a window to the physical world. And I have to admit, that sounds a little sci-fi to me.
It does, doesn't it? But it's a fascinating idea.
So how would that work? Would you need some kind of special glasses?
Well, the idea is that you'd have a camera on the VR headset itself.
On the headset, okay.
And then just by shifting your focus, you could switch between the virtual environment and the camera feed.
So I could be working on something in VR, and then if I need to see my keyboard or something.
You just glance down, that's right.
Wow, no more taking the headset off every 2 seconds.
And it would be amazing for collaborative work, you know?
Oh, I see what you mean. You could be in a virtual meeting, all looking at a model or something.
Exactly.
And then just glance over to see someone sketching on a whiteboard in the actual room.
It would really blend those two worlds seamlessly.
It really seems like this could change the game for a lot of fields, not just gaming.
And what I think is most exciting is that it's not just about better graphics or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's about making VR more natural, more human.
It is. It really humanizes the experience.
Yeah.
But with any new technology, there are always, you know, potential drawbacks or challenges.
Of course. And one thing that's important to keep in mind with this technology is, well, it does rely on eye tracking, which means you're collecting personal data.
That's true.
So ensuring that data is used responsibly, that it's properly anonymized and protected.
That's crucial.
Absolutely crucial, because as exciting as all of this is, we have to make sure that it's developed and deployed ethically.
Couldn't agree more. But overall, GaySim seems like it could be a real game changer.
I think so. It's a perfect example of how taking these existing technologies and combining them in new ways can lead to these big leaps forward.
Yeah. And in this case, it's not just about making VR look better.
Right.
It's about changing how we experience these virtual worlds on a fundamental level.
Exactly. How we perceive them, how we interact with them. It really opens up a lot of possibilities.
And it kind of makes you wonder, what other senses, what other human capabilities could we one day integrate to create even more immersive, more powerful experiences?
The mind boggles, really.
And it really does. It seems like this is a question we're going to be grappling with for a long time to come.
For sure. The potential in this field is just enormous.
It is. Well, on that note, for our listeners, if you're as intrigued by all of this as we are, we encourage you to check out the full research paper. We've just scratched the surface here today. Until next time, keep exploring the frontiers of knowledge, and we'll be here to guide you on the journey.